When our pastor was ministering on Sunday, he told us, joy cometh. And that will be the theme for this month, and for the rest of our lives. We will have reasons to rejoice. So I'll take my text again from Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. But the main part that we'll be looking at is the part B of that scripture, which says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, this was a psalm that is traditionally ascribed to David upon the building of his own royal palace. It was a song David wrote at the dedication of the house, you know. Now, he looked at his life from being a shepherd boy into becoming a hero over Goliath, becoming a fugitive, you know, somebody that everybody was praising. All of a sudden, found himself running away, helter-skelter, running from one point to another from Saul, from King Saul, despite the anointing. How will somebody be anointed and will still have to be going through that kind of stress? So he went through all of that, a point where he was to be killed, a point where the man even threw javelin to kill him. He went through a lot. So he knew what he was saying when he got to that particular point in life, that he now has a palace that has been dedicated, and he wrote this. Now, if you look at that same David, let me just read account from 2 Samuel chapter 5. I read, verse 1 says, then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Verse 3 says, so all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. This was a man that, in fact, there was time division and all of that. I jump to verse 10. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons. And they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. So this was, imagine that scenario of a man, a young man, 17, just doing his thing, and all of a sudden, problem upon problem. But when he saw, when he looked back and he saw what he had gone through, the only thing that he could think about when they were now, you know, dedicating that palace was to know that whatever is it, even along the line, if you read from verse 1, you see that he was even saying that, God, I mean, I knew I sinned. I had a problem. How long will it take you to be angry? Your anger does not last for too long. You are a good God and all of that. He now said in that verse that we are treating, to say, Lord, I have come to realize that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. So, for God to send a message to this church at a time like this, telling us that joy cometh, we must take it very seriously. To tell us that joy cometh, we must take it very seriously. Number one, the reason will be that he's aware of where we are. He's aware of our circumstances. He knows. In Psalm 147, verse 5b, he says his understanding is infinite. Infinite understanding. In Hebrews 4:13, the B part also says, all things are naked and open to him. So he knows. 1 John 3:20b says, God knows all things. So, as we are seated, whatever it is we are going through, he knows. He knows. He understands your feeling. People that are weeping in their closet, I may not know, but God knows. He knows how you feel about that situation, about that circumstance, about that thing that is making you not to be happy. That thing that is not making you to sleep the way you would have loved to sleep. That thing that is making you to feel lesser than your colleague. He knows. Another thing is that not only does he know, he's also in that situation with you. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When you pass through water, I say, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because it's there with you. And you remember what happened to those three noblemen when they were thrown into the fire on the furnace. God appeared. He's with you. Sometimes we think that God has forgotten or he does not care about what we are feeling. It's not so. So, one of the things that we need to note this night is that, yes, we may have a situation, but God knows. You know, sometimes we feel like nobody knows about us, nobody cares about, and you see some people, they throw themselves into the ocean. Some people just take, these rat poisons. They just take it and die. Why? You've thought about it that nobody cares. Nobody could feel what they are feeling. It is true, nobody will feel it. But God, who created the heaven and the earth, knows. There's this song that says, Jehovah knows, Jehovah sees, Jehovah knows. He knows, and he actually sees. So, let's now go to our text again. It says, weeping may enjoy, but for a night. But for the night. Says, joy will come in the morning. Weeping. There are few words in that scripture, that part of the scripture that we are reading, that are significant. And I'm sure that many of us will have looked at it as I was reading it, or as you have read it, or worked on it yourself. If anybody can tell me those key words there that you know. But for our time, there's a weeping. That's the first word there. It's a weeping may endure for the night. So there's weeping and there's a night. Not only do we have the night, there's joy, which we will dwell on eventually. There's joy and there's the morning. Four. In fact, the fifth word that is key there is that endurance. Endurance is also key. But we look at those four. Weeping. The night. Joy. And in the morning. Weeping is an expression of grief, sorrow, or any overwhelming emotions. It is actually synonymous to suffering, grief, unpleasantness, and unhappiness. So, if God will speak to us at this point and send his message to us that joy cometh, he knows that quite some of us are going through some challenges, some unpleasantness in our lives. Sometimes, people are feeling some heat, but what people see out is quite different. People see you and they wish to be like you. But you are the one that knows that something makes you cry in your closet. That you cannot even tell others. And God sees, like I said, and he knows. So because he knows, to the glory of God, it has come to a point where he now felt, yes, the time has come. I've been in this with you. Now, joy must manifest. And God will bring joy to your lives in Jesus' name. So, weeping may be caused by the enemy. The enemy is used to weep. If thieves go to somebody's house, and you know that's his own assignment actually, the Bible says he's a thief, and he goes to somebody's house to steal something, you will weep. Somebody who just bought a brand new vehicle and they steal it, and he's borrowed, he's on loan. You will cry, weeping. Or whatever is it. enemy can inflict that. And it can be inflicted on yourself, that whipping. You may cause it. And you see, that's why sometimes when people are whipping in their closet, some people know in their heart that they cause this thing. They can't tell anybody. In fact, it's worse. Because you can't say it out, you'll be behind this pain alone and nobody to share the grief with you. So it happens. It can be because of losses, of course, due to whatever. It can be because of sin. Sin will bring sorrow. Sin. It can be because of your errors. Committed some errors. And it can be because it must be to the glory of God. And you'll be crying. But when God will appear, not only you will know that there's a God, the whole world will celebrate. You remember the young man that was blind from childhood? And they were asking, who sinned? Nobody sinned. That the name of the Lord will be glorified. And so for people who are going through stress, that is not due to their own fault, and it's not directly by any attack, may the Lord appear to you and glorify himself in your lives in Jesus' name. So, anything weeping, anytime you hear weeping, it is not a pleasant thing. You know that sometimes we say we cry for joy. If it is a cry for joy, the Bible will not say it does not endure. It is the one that makes you, it is the one that gives you agony, that makes you weep. And so I'm excited this month because the fact is that God has brought joy. It means that a lot of things will start to change. You start to see some, the way God works. Miracles. But that's what he's saying. He's saying that it is the season of miracles. And you will experience miracles in your own lives, in your homes, in your families, in your businesses, in your careers, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a nightfall. Night. You see, that night, for Bible to put it that, but for a night, it means that that is the period. That's the time. It's for a period. But it's like a season. It's like a season. But you see, when you talk about night, if we, after a while now, if we put off the light here, nobody will see anything again. So when you talk about the night, it's a time of darkness. It's a time of darkness. At night, you can't see clearly. It's the time to sleep. You see, sometimes it is when people sleep, when men slept, the enemy will sow tears. Things that will make them not to have joy. So the time of the night is a time where, you see, you can't even see clearly. You can't have vision. You can't be clear about so many things. So that is night. It is even in the night that the enemy, because like a thief in the night, they can strike. It's the time of darkness. But thank God, that same scripture said there's a joy. And when you talk about joy, it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So what God is saying is that instead of grief and pain and sorrow, he's saying now that the time for great pleasure and happiness is coming. You know, in the Bible, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Our reverend said it on Sunday. The fruit of the Spirit. It's comforting, content, and full of peace. When you talk about joy. And it has benefits. It chases away depression. Somebody who is depressed, who had issues, the moment you hear that joy has come, everything that has made you cry will just go. I used to see a video, a very funny video of a small boy. I don't know, he was just weeping. It's like a mimic. He was crying. All of a sudden, the cry just turned to laughter. I said, so something was making him cry, and that sorrow just turned to, anytime I see that video, because people use it a lot, I will be laughing. That what kind of thing is the switch? And that is how God does his own miracle. You may be weeping in the morning, and you'll be smiling this evening. And that is what God has intended to do, that our weeping time is over. Joy has come. And so, it takes away depression. John 16:20 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice." He was talking about, you know, when he was living. "And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." The word of God. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. And when you have joy, it keeps you healthy. So God wants us to be healthy. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." So when God gives you joy, when joy comes, it's like a medicine. It gives you health. It makes you healthy. It builds your immune system. It fights stress and pain. It supports longevity. Do you know, okay, while we were praying upstairs, I met the prayer and Reverend was talking about, you know, somebody, imagine you now, and somebody just comes to you and say, "Ah, sister or brother, there's this key, Lexus G74. Even if you were crying before, you just realize that you're saying, "Oh, look what is she?" The way you will be dancing will be different. People will think that you are close. Because that joy will just dwell, will just well up without singing. There's one Yoruba, this song, I don't know. Maybe it's a CC pastor or something. He said, "Yeah, King, Yola and Nilu." Let me sing like somebody. Let me dance like somebody who dance without drum. And dance like someone who cannot hear anything. Why will you dance like that? It's because you are too joyful. Ojobi Aditi. Ojola Irilu. That is it. When joy comes, that's how it works. You have seen, I don't know if you have seen anybody on the road. It's just walking, normal thing. Just, hey, all of a sudden, I'm a Joe Otigagbe, we are Lati Wole. He would have forgotten where he was, he would just be dancing. That's how joy happens. When joy comes, all this, I'm trying to be big man. It doesn't come. People will know that you are joyful. Your joy will come. In the name of Jesus Christ. So it keeps you healthy. It gives you the strength to run the race of life. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portion unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." When joy comes, you have strength. And that strength will help you. So, when you see weeping, it takes away all these things. It takes away peace. It takes away your strength. It makes you sick. Sadness is not good. Weeping is not good. But God is saying to us that it is time for joy. Number four, the morning. So, now, grief was there, and grief found itself in darkness. He was there the whole of the night. But whether he likes it or not, the morning came. So morning, like just like the night, is another season. But a season of light. You know, it is when there is light. Let him on. It's a season of light, of clarity, of newness, of rejuvenation. So when you see, you shower, you dress up, you brush your teeth, newness is in the morning. So David had gone through all the seasons. Eventually, he got to his morning. So in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, I paraphrase, "The Lord gave David rest round about from all his enemies." He now had rest. So, weeping had gone. Joy has now come. And joy is now with him. So, he had peace. So, when you have joy, when God is saying joy cometh, it is a sign that your battles will be over. It is a sign that there will be peace all around you. It is a sign that your children will experience peace. They will have victory all around in the name of Jesus Christ. No wonder he wrote in Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Whatever is it? Don't forget where we started from. We said he knows. He sees. He knows where you are. For him to send us a message, he knows. And not only does he know, he's also with you in that situation. You may not really see, but he's with you. He's with you. So you must have that consciousness that for God to be with you in your situation at this moment, and it's now saying to you that joy comes. And the Bible said that he sees all things. He knows all things. He actually knows that the time of joy has come. And so he's preparing you because the joy may come. If one is not careful, you may not get it. And that is, it's only you that may choose not to have joy. When the joy of the Lord comes, you may choose. And that's why he's telling us now so that we can prepare our hearts to be joyful. Praise the Lord. Now, I said something that I spoke about endurance. The Bible says that weeping endures the night. That weeping. It says may endure the night. So weeping endures the night. In fact, if you look at it, it has a meaning. It has meaning. Because it means, as far as I'm concerned, that the challenges tarried for a while. He said, endured. Do you know the meaning of endurance? Endurance. When we, in those days, when we are doing endurance trek, or you are on endurance, you'll be tired though, but you sort of keep doing it. You keep moving. You keep moving. When somebody has some strength, endurance strength, it is that, yes, against all tides, against every whatever, you still endure that pain to stand. So, if you look at that scripture, it is the weeping, the causes of your sorrow, that is enduring everything that you have done. That's why some people, you say, oh, but I've prayed. I'm a child of God. I've prayed. I've done everything. It still tarries. It's an endurance. That cause, the sorrow, the pain, endures. It's enduring your prayer. It's enduring. Okay, you have challenges in your business. You are doing everything that you can do. You run. You do whatever. It's still enduring it. To say, you must say, you must weep. He says, it endures. And you may say, ah, Agbadura now. What is happening? Daniel prayed. You know how many days? He kept praying, but the challenge, the demon, the wickedness withstood his prayer. Endurance. So he says, weeping may endure. But the joy here is that whether he likes to endure and endure and endure, the sun must rise. Your sun has risen. In the name of Jesus. So the significant thing about our message or the theme for this month is that no night lasts forever. No night lasts forever. The sun will always rise. And with the dawn comes the blessings and favor of the Father, who will always bless, strengthen, and deliver his children. There's nothing the enemy can do. No wonder the Bible says, I may fall 7 times, but I will arise. That is, whatever is battling, that is fighting, that is making me to fall the first time, and you are struggling not to fall, it makes you fall 2nd time. By the 7th time battle, there will be victory. So, life may not be perfect, brethren. It may not be comfortable or free of pain and struggle, not even for the most faithful servant of God. But in the midst of our pain, uncertainty and fear, God is always with us and working for us. And I want you to note that so that you have the strength to carry on. The joy has come. Now let's look at some examples. Number one, the woman with the issue of blood. Luke 8:43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. In verse 43, came behind him, that is Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched, that is ceased. Now, if you look at that scripture, she had fought back the cause of her weeping for 12 years, but the cause of that weeping endured 12 years. A night lasted 12 years. What's your own issue? How long has it taken? How long has that issue taken? Or has it been? A joy cometh in the morning and weeping ceased. So whatever is it, how long your situation, that issue, you know it. For how long, I don't care to know. The thing is this, joy cometh. So whatever is that issue, whatever is that situation, however long it has been, the joy has come. And I want you to believe it. It has come. And victory has come. The second person, or the second one, is Anna in the Bible. The Bible says she was childless for many years. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 4, from verse 4, when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. That woman had children. So they were sharing in the same house. But unto Anna, he gave a worthy portion. Wait, what did he come back? It's big. For he loved Anna, but the Lord has shut up her womb. And her adversaries also provoked her sore for to make her fret. Because the Lord has shut up her womb, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept. And she did not eat. Weeping. Verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Anna had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Can you see? Now, this was a woman that is married to a man. The other wife had children. She did not have. You can imagine that kind of pressure. Her situation was unpleasant. Not only was she childless and sad, she was also mugged. The other wife mugged her. That's very wicked. You see, the first story we read was about, yes, there was an issue. Yes, he had issues. And the issue had tarried for quite a while. Fine. But not to mock. This particular woman, the enemy of her. Is that your situation? Yes, we can say you have issue. If you have issue and you are still crying to God, fine. But it will need to go, Abba. Are people mocking you? Is there a situation that is making people to say, look at him? Whatever is it, for Anna, she was mocked. But God intervened. Micah 7:8 says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Let them not rejoice over your downfall. Your joy is coming. You will smile again. You will laugh again. You will be joyful. You will have reason to rejoice again in the name of Jesus Christ. And as joy came, your own will come. Let's look at another one. Blind Bartimaeus. He was blind for so long and turned to a beggar. Mark 10 from 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he called thee. Verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now look at that story. He was blind and only known as a blind person. That's all they know about him, blind Bartimaeus. But in this particular season, the giver of joy was passing by. Just like the giver of joy is here, sending us message that joy cometh. It's for us to prepare. So he was passing by. Blind Bartimaeus cried for help, cried for mercy. But Why crying for mercy? Some people, enemies, they shouted him down. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. You know, I call him any joy. The enemy said, no, you can't have joy. You've been sentenced to weeping. And some forces worked against him when his joy was coming. He didn't allow distraction, but concentrated more on the giver and the restorer of joy. The same people who worked against him were the same to announce his good news, his good news. When Jesus Christ called him, they are the one that now said, oh, rise up. Have a good countenance. He called it because they know that miracle has started. The joy has come. Are there forces against you right now? If you know where we're starting from, issues. Yes. For how long? I don't know. But some people are being mocked. If you stop at mocking, why would they now say your joy was not come again? When joy was now coming, they are now saying no, they want to stop it. Ah, it will not happen. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, God will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So that is what, when God is sending his message to us to say, joy cometh, it is to say, even if there are forces that are saying, no, you will not have joy, it's a lie. He will set a table. They will sit like this and you will be hitting. They will sit like this, you will have your child. They will sit like this, you will have that husband. They will sit like this, you will have that wife. They will sit like this, your business will blossom. In the name of Jesus. That is what God is saying. Now, another one that I want us to look at briefly is the extreme hunger in Samaria. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25, the Bible says, and there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver and the 4th part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Crisis. So some of us, it's not even about, oh, this challenge or whatever. Some of us, the challenge is ego. The economy has battered some people, but God says joy cometh. He says joy cometh. Economy or no economy. That was the situation in Samaria. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1, Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of a barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The same Samaria said, this is what will happen. In verse 18, and it came to pass, as the man of God has spoken to the king, it came to pass. What he said came to pass in verse 18. So they were extremely hungry. God spoke through Elisha, joy cometh. That's what he said. That's the essence. He spoke to them. Don't worry. Joy cometh. But it was difficult for some of them to believe. You see that in verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 7. Even when the miracle happened, the king was scared. Read the account of that in verse 12. 2 Kings 7, verse 12. He was scared. He said, maybe. You see, can you imagine? Miracle has now happened. Joy, things that will give you joy has come. You are even scared. He said, maybe they know that we are, in fact, he said, they know that we are hungry. We are extremely hungry. Maybe they just went to hide so that they can capture us. He has lost his ability to even embrace joy, to even embrace anything. He has lost it. Fear had gripped everybody. Joy cometh. Joy cometh. So this evening, brethren, I want you see, those people, they look beyond their limitations. Zechariah chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1 to 5, and then I'll round up. He says, I lifted up my eyes again, and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, said the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Now look at it. The angel was going to measure. Oh, so length by so breadth, at least so that you can know the capacity. But God sent another angel and said, go and tell him. As far as I'm concerned, these people, they are limitless. He said, forget it. Don't measure anything. Forget about measurement. I, the Lord, will be the one in charge. So they will be limitless. So if you have been measuring yourself based on your background, you have taken the length and breadth, you see that, oh, you worth nothing. You have taken the measurement and they've checked your sperm count, they've checked your tube and everything, and the measurement is saying you cannot have a child. You are taking a measurement. God is saying tonight, forget measurement. For you, it is borderless. He's saying for you, forget measurement. I am the God who will surround you with fire. So anything that has been disturbing you, it is that same God that will consume it. So he says, no. So don't look at your limitations. Don't look at what is happening or what you have. The joy will come, irrespective of anything. That is the word of God. That is the promise of God, and joy will surely come. Job 14 verse 7 says, for there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. So if you had been battered before, there is hope. You will arise again. Your joy will come again in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's this I want to leave with you. There's a weeping that lasts forever that doesn't have a joy. That one is dangerous. And that is missing heaven. It will result in eternal weeping. Matthew 8:12 says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Don't forget I mentioned weeping and darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So please, brethren, and those that are listening online, if there's anything you must work on in your life, don't miss heaven. So that you will not weep forever. But for here on earth, weeping may endure just for a night. God will appear. And he has appeared to us. Our joy cometh. Let me conclude. As someone who had experienced a lifetime of heartache and godly favor, David wrote from experience, knowing that any pain, anxiety, and struggle he will face in life were only temporary. They are temporary. In his darkest and most desperate hours, David had called out to the Lord, and God had answered every time. So, like I said, no night lasts forever. The sun will always rise. And our sun is set to rise in the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we may feel hopeless, discouraged, and afflicted in the moment, unable to see the light. But as Jeremiah the prophet wrote, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The joy has come. I want us to pray like David in Psalm 30 verse 11. He says, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and gathered me with gladness. Since God is one that said, our joy cometh. I want you to just pray that prayer for yourself. And say, Lord, turn my mourning into dancing. He has said it and he will do it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.